In one of the most surprising encounters that I have ever had as a priest, it was several years after I'd left my first assignment. There was a voicemail on my office phone when I returned to the office from a former parishioner who had specifically requested to visit with me in person. And the truth is, I wasn't looking forward to it. I kind of agreed to do it, but the reason I wasn't looking forward to it is because shortly after I was ordained, this woman was probably the most critical person in the entire parish of my preaching. She just didn't like it, okay, and she wasn't shy about sharing that. And in that there was some critiques technically and that sort of thing, but there was also mostly critiques about content. And in fact, she said that basically it was so bad that in a parish that was basically perfect, all right, the only imperfect thing was my preaching. All right, this was the worst thing about the entire life of the parish. And so, as I'm kind of going through this as a relatively new priest, I came to two conclusions. One is that she was right, and I just wasn't that good. The other one was sort of more of an ego preservation thing, where I said, "Well, you know what? She just must be anti-clerical or something like that, and that must be the reason that she's doing this." But so I was prepared. All right, I was prepared as I met with her in person to be torn apart. Okay. While she had a smile on her face, she would just tear me apart. But the exact opposite happened. The absolute exact opposite happened. She had described a very powerful encounter that she'd had with the Lord, and in that encounter with the Lord, a number of deep hurts and wounds in her life and her family's life from a very, very long past had been revealed, and the Lord was doing great things to continue to bring her to healing. And part of this healing process for her was going and making amends with a handful of people, me included, who she basically said disrupted her life. We disrupted her life because we were bringing things in that I certainly wasn't doing it to her on purpose, but suggesting that that her life was something less than perfect because she had worked so hard. She had worked so hard to present, okay, to herself and to the world, this perfect life of her and her family, which simply wasn't true. And so anybody who would say anything or do anything, certainly not intentionally, that might suggest that there's some imperfection in there, was messing up her narrative. They were messing up her story that she had written, and she did not respond well to it. But this encounter with the Lord, all right, was actually her experiencing the true fullness of her own story and the imperfections, and frankly, the love that God would show her, not in her perfection, but actually her imperfections, in order to help her grow and to complete the whole story. All right, to complete the whole story. Easter is about the fulfillment of the story of our salvation. Jesus suffered, died, rose from the dead as the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. And in that fulfillment, the story is fulfilled. All right, the story is fulfilled. We have three readings today on this. Third Sunday of Easter that all bring that into perspective in a slightly different way. Peter, as he's proclaiming the resurrection of the Lord, he's actually kind of getting in their face, all right? He is getting in their face. He says, "This is what you've done. You rejected the Holy One of God. You turned him over. You gave him. You took a murderer instead of him. You had him turned over and put to death. This is what you did, all right? But that's not the end of the story, all right? It is not the end of the story. All right, the story goes on to say, and now he has risen from the dead all right, and invites to repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the story continues. It doesn't stop at their failures. John reminds us in his letter of knowing God is following the commandments, but that we also have an advocate. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ when we fall and when we sin. The advocacy is not advocacy of the sin itself. It is not. It's very, very clear. The advocacy is for us. And in that advocacy includes the mercy of God. All right? That when we fall, when we sin, we have a Lord who wants to forgive us. All right? The reality of our sin is true, and it's part of the story. But it's not the end of the story. And then finally, at this conclusion of the road to Emmaus and the two disciples on the road, discovering Jesus in the breaking of the bread, we're reminded Jesus showed himself, okay, to people who walked with him, to people who ostensibly, all right, loved him, all right, but didn't really trust him. They didn't trust what he said. And so as he's meeting with them, he says, look, this really happened. This really happened. And this is the beginning of the rest of the story that you are part of. That you will begin with preaching in Jerusalem for repentance and baptism and the forgiveness of sins. It's the whole story. All right? It is the whole story. And the truth is that if we don't have the whole story, the creeping in of a temptation for us to be dishonest about the reality of our own story becomes very, very large. Because we're tempted to present something that simply isn't true. All right? We're tempted to dishonesty. We're tempted to dishonesty to ourselves, to others, and to God. And to sort of rewrite a story that simply isn't true or isn't complete. At best, it's not complete. In some ways, it might not be true. And what had happened with this woman is that she had written a narrative. She'd written a story. She'd written a story that was decidedly incomplete and probably many parts of it likely false. And so when anything got in there to disrupt that, it upset her. Okay? It upset her, and it was our fault. You know, it was our problem. It was our fault. But when she recognized the rest of the story, that the Lord who had loved her in her wounds, in her hardship, and her imperfections, it actually freed her. And it began a spirit of honesty, spirit of honesty towards God, towards herself, towards her family, towards others. And she ended up actually dying a very, very peaceful and holy death just a few years after that. And it was rooted in the story, all right? In a story being fulfilled, the whole thing. And we think about it. If you think about one or two people in your life who've left practice of the faith, left the church, left belief in God, maybe even all those things, I can tell you with a very, very high degree of certitude that almost every single person who has left a life of faith has at least one thing in common. And that one thing in common is that they know part of the story, but they don't know the whole story. They fix and they lock in on one thing that's probably true. It's probably true, but it's not the whole story. And we have a temptation to do that ourselves as well. And we either want to run away from it, or we want to think that it either isn't true or it's the only thing that's true. The truth is, in the life of Christ, in his interaction and his oneness with us, he invites us and wants us to be part of the whole story. The whole story, our flaws, our failures, our lack of trust in him, that he might engage and lift us up. Invite us to that spirit of repentance that allows us to be honest. To be honest with him and invite him into our lives. Because the truth is, the story of God, the story of Jesus and our salvation is our story if we allow him into our own story. If we try to write our own story without letting God into it, at best it will be incomplete. At worst it'll be a lie. All right? At worst it will be a lie. But the truth is that the Lord and His story wants us to fold our story into His and to be part of it, to be part of that salvific story that begins in a spirit of honesty. And when we're honest with ourselves, when we're honest with others, when we're honest with God, that is the beginning of us making the decision, that decision to take our story in its totality, in its darkness and in its light, and fold it into the story of the Lord's as well. And when we do that and experience that fullness, that totality, and that completeness, right, we are then prepared to share our story folded into His with great joy and rejoicing with others.